stardate December 2nd. Last May 4th, a spacecraft called Magellan was successfully launched toward the planet Venus. Though a slimmed-down version of original plans, Magellan represents the first U.S. planetary spacecraft since 1978. And with a technologically advanced radar system on board, Magellan promises to send home pictures of Venus never seen before. The Venus Orbiting Imaging Radar program was a gleam in the eyes of space scientists a decade ago. But lack of funding and problems with the space shuttle, along with other complications, cut back the mission. The newly named Magellan now carries only one scientific instrument, but what an instrument it is. Scientists are enthusiastic that this sophisticated radar system carried by Magellan will have dramatic results. Radar is needed to study Venus, by the way, because the planet's surface can't be seen. It's completely covered by clouds. Magellan's radar is similar to that used by the Soviets to view Venus from their spacecraft Venera 15 and 16. But the improved American model will provide 100 times greater mapping resolution. As a result, scientists will be able to make out features on Venus as small as a football field. The goal of studying Venus in such detail is to learn more about planetary processes. It's been speculated for some time, for instance, that Venus may have active volcanoes. Magellan should help us find out. It'll reach the vicinity of Venus this coming August. Our program is Stardate. Our writer-producer, Deborah Bird. Stardate and Stardate Magazine are produced by the McDonald Observatory. We're at the University of Texas at Austin. Our zip code, 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
And a very good... What the hell is going on here? I don't know why my voice sounds like this, folks, but a very good evening to you nonetheless. It's time for Brain Damage at 5 minutes after 10 o'clock. Our telephone number, if you're not already confused, is 516-632-6901. All right, knock it off. You're playing games back there. God. Sophomoric people. I mean, what can you say about it? Anyway, give us a call. I don't really feel like talking very much, so I'm going to depend on you. You can tell I don't feel like talking very much from the way my voice sounds. I must have a cold or something. But give us a call, 632-6901. Light up those phone lines and, you know, do most of the talking yourself this week because I'm just not in the mood for it. I mean, what can I say? But we do have Moscow... That's much better. Thank you. Thank you, whoever did that. We do have Moscow mailbag all ready to go here. Actually, I kind of like the way my voice sounded that way. So we're going to play a little bit of that. If, however, we get an avalanche of phone calls, we'll fade that down and go right to them. But we need an avalanche. 632-6901.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag. And time to answer your questions again. Let us first take a look at some of your questions lined up in this edition of Moscow Mailbag. Who cares for Soviet children who are orphans? How does one become a member of the Communist Party? Is American fast food available in Moscow? Is it possible that opposition political parties may someday be permitted in the Soviet Union? These questions and more are coming up shortly. And our first letter today comes from Ralph Ellis of Tampa, Arizona. I stopped listening for a while, and now when I tune in, I find out that Moscow Mailbag with Joe Adamoff is missing. What has happened? I hope Joe is well.
Don't worry. Joe is perfectly all right, if perhaps just a bit tired. Mailbag was indeed off the air for a while last summer because Joe was on vacation and there was just no one to sit in for him. Every single member of our staff was at the moment doing something else. You see, we do have a shortage of trained personnel on this 60th anniversary of Radio Moscow's Foreign Service. Another 60 years, and I suppose we'll have enough. But Joe seems to be sufficiently recovered from his fatigue and just ordinary doldrums to resume his work on Mailbag, which he has been doing, incidentally, for over 30 years now. Quite an exploit. His program appears to be the longest running on Radio Moscow, and according to listeners' response, one of the most popular, if not the most popular program that we ever had. So keep up the good work that you've been doing, Joe, and we'll be waiting for more letters.
A question from Charles Guerin of Louisiana. Is English taught in your schools? At what level of education?
English is one of the foreign languages taught in Soviet schools, and it seems to be gaining in importance as an obligatory course. It is certainly taught far more extensively than, say, German, French, or Spanish, the other languages that are most commonly taught. Usually they begin studying a foreign language in the fifth grade, and the course lasts up to graduation in the 10th or 11th grade, depending on what school you're going to. There are also specialized schools that start teaching English from the second grade and usually give their students a more thorough knowledge of the language. By the end of their education, most students are, well, let's put it this way, proficient enough in the language to communicate and read books in the original.
We have received a whole list of questions from Paul Merling of Lincoln, Nebraska. We will try to answer most of them. Are there schools in Russia which young people may attend if they want to make a career out of being an officer in one of the Russian armed forces?
Basically, there are two types of military schools for school-age youngsters, the Suvorov Army School and the Nakhimov Naval School. Both have limited enrollment and usually take care of orphan boys or those from poor families who would like to make a military career. These schools provide their pupils with a basic school education plus military training. Graduates, unless they become disaffected with a military career, subsequently go on to a military college or academy. While the Suvorov and Nakhimov schools are quite popular, military educational establishments are currently experiencing a crisis of sorts, to judge from news reports. A military career these days does not appear to be too attractive for young people who increasingly show preference for civilian occupations. The result is a severe shortage of trained military professionals. Some military officials fear the proposed reduction of the Soviet army by 500,000 men will further increase the workload on the military. Obviously, the imminent cuts in the Soviet Union's military expenditure will make the military establishment look for more efficient ways of running that establishment.
Are women allowed to volunteer for military service in Russia?
Yes, women are allowed to serve in the military and only on a voluntary basis. Usually they serve as nurses, physicians, typists, and other auxiliary personnel. But in contrast to the regular conscripts who draw only token salaries, barely enough to buy cheap cigarettes, women volunteers draw normal salaries. In fact, their salaries are usually higher than in comparable occupations in the civilian sector of the economy, which is one reason why women sign up. Another reason, as one news report indicated, is being among men, which gives a common-looking girl an added chance of getting married. And, of course, some girls are natural tomboys, and they enjoy mingling with men and doing men's jobs.
And our next question, who cares for Russian children who are orphans?
There is a network of special boarding schools which takes care of orphan children. Some of them are quite decent and take good care of their charges. Others, however, are totally inadequate and have come up for criticism in the news media. Naturally, this is a highly painful and emotional subject of discussion in the media. There can be no justification for saving at the expense of children, just as there is no justification for depriving youngsters of a decent livelihood. The problem is that such boarding schools are severely short of cash, and there is no private funding of such institutions, which might be the answer to some of their problems, since the state is unable to cover all the expenses involved. In fact, public fundraising for such institutions has been gaining momentum lately.
And how does the Russian government deal with parents who abandon or neglect their children? What happens to the children of such parents?
Such unfortunate children end up in the boarding schools that I have just described. Actually, there is not much the government can do about such parents. What can you do with a young girl who abandons her newly born baby in a maternity hospital? There is an increasing number of young unwed mothers who choose to leave their unwanted babies behind, and there is no law that can stop them from doing so. Very often, such babies are adopted. However, there are many complaints that the entire adoption procedure is far too complicated, and sometimes childless couples have to wait, well, even up to several years before they become eligible to adopt a child. Leaving newborn babies behind is one thing. Neglecting one's children at home is something quite different. In this case, the state is empowered to deprive such parents of their parental rights, and the children end up in a foster home or those same boarding schools.
How does somebody living in Russia become a member of the Communist Party?
The party is open for membership to all Soviet citizens from the age of 18 who pledge to abide by the party rules and program, pay membership dues, and work in one of the party's organizations. The Communist Party has a membership of nearly 20 million.
We have a couple of more questions from Paul Nehling. Are there radio and television stations in Russia which broadcast in the language of each ethnic group in Russia?
There are over 100 different ethnic groups in this country. Some, such as the Russians, number over 137 million. Others, such as Negidels, living in the Far East, number less than 500. It would, of course, be impossible to have a special radio or TV station for each of these smaller ethnic groups. But nearly 60 nationalities do have their own broadcasting and publishing. In those areas where sufficiently large numbers of ethnic groups are concentrated, TV and radio broadcasting is carried on in their language. For example, in Kazakhstan, where there is a large population of ethnic Germans, they have local radio and television broadcasts in that language.
A letter from Jeff Dobier of Chicago, Illinois. As you may know, alcoholism is a big social problem here in the United States, and I have heard that this is also the case in the Soviet Union. Here in the United States, we have been dealing constructively with this problem for some time through many treatment programs and organizations, chief among them AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. I understand that Gorbachev's initial efforts to curb Soviet alcoholism have had little success. Could you tell me the names of the most important, if any, programs and organizations which help Soviet citizens to overcome this problem and resume normal lives?
Well, there is no question that alcoholism is a major social problem in the Soviet Union. We have 5 million registered alcoholics in this country, and of course millions who remain unregistered and take no treatment for their affliction. 20,000 people annually die of alcohol-related diseases and accidents. The strict alcohol control measures adopted in 1985 to contain the problem proved to be short-lived and produced only marginal results. There are several treatment programs and organizations fighting this affliction. The basic organization involved is the Health Ministry, which has opened a network of what we call narcological dispensaries, district outpatient clinics, specifically for people suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. Major industrial enterprises have set up local branches of such clinics, keeping tabs on heavy drinkers and offering them treatment on a voluntary basis. If the voluntary methods don't work, and they often don't with hardcore alcoholics, then such persons might be required to undergo compulsory treatment. Such treatment is given in institutions that are called treatment and work centers, and since they limit personal freedom, there are few who volunteer for such centers. I might tell you that Alcoholics Anonymous have set up a chapter in the Soviet Union, and it has been a great success here, although its reach remains limited.
A question from Alvin Machler, a university student from Louisiana. I have tried to read Russian and find it very difficult because of the different alphabet. I would like to know if your broadcasters are reading English over the air from a paper written in the English alphabet or from the Soviet alphabet.
You know, it never occurred to me that one might use Cyrillic or Slavonic characters to write English. I don't see how it might be possible to read English fluently from a text in Slavonic characters or Cyrillic. The fact is that Russian and English are very different languages phonetically and grammatically.
And finally, we have a question from Charles Rapp of Lake Mary, Florida. How do you like American fast food available in Moscow?
Well, to tell you the truth, there isn't much American fast food available in Moscow so far. We do have a network of eateries offering pizzas here. And that is, of course, an Italian-American dish. It has become quite popular in the Soviet Union, although I personally don't like our pizzas too much dough. They are also building a huge McDonald's restaurant in downtown Moscow. And although local varieties of hamburgers are available, the Big Mac will be the first true North American fast food outlet. It'll be a joint venture with a Canadian division of Big Mac.
And that takes care of this edition of Moscow Mailbag. If you have any questions you want answered on this program, all you have to do is drop us a line. Our address is the North American Service of Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR.
Grand finale. I don't think I ever heard that before. That's, I want to hear that again. Let's hear that grand finale. Oh, of course, the tape machine is all screwed up. Let's see if I can get it at the right speed. Here we go. That's amazing. That's amazing. I've never heard that before. Just goes to show what a little faith can do, right? Well, okay, we've got a show for you tonight. We've got things to talk about. We've got things to do. We want to hear from you, though. I was flabbergasted by the small amount of calls that came in when I appealed for people to call in. Call in, for God's sake. 632-6901 is a call-in program. Kind of silly if we don't have any calls, right? 516-632-6901. We'll get to the phones right after this.
The autonomous Komi Republic, which is part of the Russian Federation, is situated in the far northwest of Europe and spreads up to the Arctic part of the Ural Mountains. It's crossed by 9 northern parallels. 10 fair-sized European states could be placed on its territory. Besides indigenous residents, that is, the Komi people, there are also Russians, Ukrainians, Nenets, Chuvashis, and Tartars. And now, let's go back into history a little bit. A boy lying on skins behind our backs was turning the knobs of a small transistor radio. And the tent was suddenly filled with an announcer's voice speaking Komi. Then with music from Moscow, followed by English and French speech.
The recording was made at the Moscow Theater of Musical Miniatures.
Now, back to modern times.
Your attention, please. At the recommendation of the International Time Bureau, commencing at 23 hours, 59 minutes, 60 seconds, UTC, an extra second will be inserted into the NBS time scale. This adjustment is required to maintain internationally coordinated universal time as broadcast from these stations in close agreement with UT1 or astronomical time.
WA6ODB with a question.
And,
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
About power.
You meant?
We got so much power now.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
We got so much power now. That's ridiculous.
You meant? Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
Power and all that. That's power. We got so much power. That's ridiculous.
We have
power, 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 power now. Ridiculous. We got so much power now.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
It's not even funny.
You meant?
That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many?
It's not even funny.
You meant?
That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many?
That's ridiculous.
Do you know how many times?
That's ridiculous. It's not even funny.
You meant?
It's not even funny. It's not even funny.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
It's not even funny. How many time zones?
Yeah. We have four in this country, right?
How many time zones?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Four in this country, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
4. 1, 2, 3. Yes, sir.
Right?
1, 2, 3. Yes, sir. 4 time zones?
Yeah. We have 4 in this country, right?
No, sir.
We have...
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And,
Do you know how many time zones they have?
Yes, sir. 4. No, sir. I never really studied that up.
11.
11. It's not even funny.
That's 11.
11. That's ridiculous.
11.
11. Well, that's what we can do. We can go anywhere because we live here. We can go anywhere else.
But not only the right of free travel, I'm saying 11.
11. 1, 2, 3. Yes, sir.
11.
11.
That's how big they are.
Yeah. Yeah. 11.
That's how big they are.
Yeah. Yeah. I can believe that. I'm a firm believer in that.
Right?
1, 2, 3. 4. Yes, sir. 1, 2, yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Soviet Union, the whole half side of the world.
Yeah.
And we're just on one little tenth of the globe.
Yeah.
They, when you talk about fighting, we're a country that we're a firm believer on Christ, and it's called help thy neighbor. Do not kill, do not, you know, steal, cheat, lie from everybody. That's why we have to have computers, because man, nobody is perfect. You know, it's not even funny. And about power, man, nobody is perfect. You know.
So what is your point?
Nobody is perfect. You know.
So what is your point?
There's two things they'll talk about. One's politics, the other one's religion. The reason you don't talk about them is because they combine in each other. You know what I'm saying?
Do you know how many time zones there are in the Soviet Union?
You know what I'm saying?
Don't you kid yourself. Thanks, Glenn, for the... just thanks for the good thoughts.
This concludes our transmission to Oceania. However, listeners in East Asia may continue listening on the following shortwave frequencies. 6110, 7230, 9565, 9760, 15160, and 15425 kilohertz. Separate.
Here it comes. 5, 5, 4, 3, 3, 3, 4, 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Did you say 9?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
At 6:50 a.m., 8 a.m., and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, on frequencies 21550 on the 13-meter band and 15400 on the 19-meter band. On Saturday and Sunday, they are broadcast at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for a full hour. These are available on the 21550 and 15400 frequencies. Every day there is an evening broadcast beamed to the east and west coasts. It takes place at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 4 p.m. Pacific Time, on two frequencies, 11755 on the 25-meter band and 9645 on the 31-meter band. If you would like to leave a message of 1 minute or less, please wait for the tone. If this message is to be submitted to Radio Finland's program Airmail, please state so on the tape. If you would like to receive a copy of Radio Finland's broadcast schedule, please leave your name and address. Delivery of the schedule will be assured if you speak clearly and spell out all proper nouns. Thanks again for calling Radio Finland, the station that gives you news of Northern Europe and more.
We're not actually leaving gunfire on the Radio Finland answer machine. The cart machine doesn't work in the first place, but also we have the special button pushed where they can't hear a thing we're doing. Boy, this is terrible. Don't say we never told you anything, because that's obviously some information of relevance here. The gunfire's starting again. It's like mortar off in the distance somewhere. It's not supposed to sound like that. wish I could describe it better, but out of hell with it. Ah, 632-6901. Our phones must be broken because the calls just are not coming in. Maybe something's going on tonight that I don't know about. You know, maybe it's like some big revolutionary rally somewhere I wasn't invited to. You know, I'd like to know about that. Maybe somebody can call up from that great event, let us know just how it's going. We'd sure like to, you know, be a part of that. I guess people need me to come up with a topic, but boy, you know, I don't know. I can't think of a topic off the top of my head, you know. It's just been one of those days. I mean, you know, cold, miserable outside, and I feel like calling things on the phone, you know?
Enter your password now.
Okay, my password. Well, let's try the word password. There.
The number you dialed is 796. To cancel your last request, dial star. Dial number sign to continue.
It only took three numbers. Okay, I'll dial number sign. Uh-oh.
You have made a dialing error. Please hang up and redial the test call number now.
Well, I guess I have to do that because it told me to do that, so I have to redial it now. And, boy, what have I gotten myself into here? See, the thing is, I'm one for following instructions. I always do what I'm told. And it gets me into a lot of trouble.
Thank you for calling Radio Finland.
Whoops. Sorry, I didn't mean to call you guys again. Let's try the right number for a change. Poor Radio Finland. It's 10:34. Our phone number is 632-6901, area code 516.
Enter your password now.
All right. Take a wild guess. I know it's three digits, right?
You have made a dialing error. Please hang up and redial the test call number now.
I don't want to. I want to stop doing this. I'm just going to have to disobey her. I don't know what... I'll try something else instead. Got all these numbers people give me. If you have fun numbers to call, please send them in. The program is brain damage, and we seek to prove that.
Please enter your authorization code.
Ah, that's better. Okay. 12345. That's always a good authorization code.
Please enter your authorization code.
I guess that wasn't right. Okay, how's that? Uh-oh. Okay, that one's not too friendly. Let's try this one. I know you'll like this one. I can just keep doing this all night long until somebody calls in.
Enter area code.
Ah, that's better. 516.
Enter exchange.
Exchange is 632.
Stony Brook, Nye.
That's right. We're in Stony
Brook. Enter area code.
Stony Brook, Nye, he said. Let's try...
Enter exchange.
Let's try 473.
Jefferson, Nye.
That's correct, too.
Enter area code.
That's Port Jefferson. Let's getting the phones lit up. Okay, let's try Patchogue. See how
enter
it says that.
Enter exchange. Patchogue, Nye.
Very good.
Enter area code.
Let's try next. How about Plainview? Plainview.
Enter exchange. Hicksville, Nye.
Well, it's Plainview, but I guess it's
enter area code.
Let's see. Let's try Fisher's Island, my favorite.
Enter exchange. F-I-S-H-E-R-S, I-S, Nye. Enter area code.
Chickened out. Okay, let's try Garden City.
Enter exchange. Mineola, Nye.
Mineola, okay.
Enter area code.
I'll just stay with this thing forever. Let's try Ronkonkoma.
Enter exchange. Ronkonkoma, Nye.
He says
enter
that.
Area code.
He says that just like the mail order guy on TV says it.
Enter exchange.
Let's try Centerreach or Selden.
Selden. Nye.
Okay.
Enter area code.
Let's try Middle Island.
Enter exchange. Yaphank. Nye.
Yaphank. Okay.
Enter area code.
Well, you get the picture, right? Let's try one more. Let's try
enter exchange.
Rocky Point. How's that?
Shoreham. Nye.
Shoreham. Okay. Enough
enter
of this.
Enter area code.
Enough of this gay banter here. Okay. That's a neat little service to have there. Okay. Our number is 632-6901. If you have something to say, give us a call. Good evening. Anyone there? Can't hear you. Oh, well. Good evening.
Hello.
Yeah?
Where's the cat?
What?
Where's the cat?
What cat?
It's synonymous for what's up.
Oh, I didn't know that. You see, I'm not into these hip expressions.
I don't know.
Where's the cat?
Should be.
Okay, where's the cat? Nothing, I guess.
Do you remember me? This is Christina.
Christina, where would I know you from?
Wednesday night.
Wednesday.
Searching for a drink.
Oh, yes, that, of course. well, yeah, you realize that never happened.
Of course not.
Theoretically, yes, that's what we were doing. Okay, yes, I remember you.
Well, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. How come you're not, like, talking about anything on
your show? It's a problem. I don't know. I can't think of anything to talk about. I knew this would happen eventually. I knew sooner or later my mind would go blank, and I...
What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Right now, just a hat, and that's about it. You know?
Hat?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
It's not interesting at all. That's the problem. It's boring. Everything's boring.
Yeah, what kind of hat?
This is my Greek fisherman's hat.
Oh.
It's got Greek fish all over it. Yeah.
Can I ask you questions?
Sure, you can ask me anything.
Okay, wait, I have a whole list. These are like getting to know you questions.
Oh, boy. Okay, this is my day of reckoning. Go ahead.
Oh, wait, I have to record your answers, too. Give me a piece of paper.
Oh, boy.
Okay, what's your mom's middle name?
Oh, no. Let's not get too personal here. This kind of stuff can be used as ammunition someday.
Personal? Just what's your mom's middle name?
X.
All right. What color is the rug in your room?
Okay, I can answer. Green.
And the walls?
White. Well, actually, antique white.
Antique white?
Yeah.
Wow. Any pets?
Yes, actually.
Uh-huh. And what are they?
Oh, you gotta get personal. Well, do plants count?
No.
Okay, that's too bad. Well, there's a canine creature.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rat or two. Let's see, what else? I guess that's pretty much it. I can't think of anything else running around the house.
Do you believe in a great pumpkin?
Yes, very definitely.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Who's your godfather?
In fact, if you hold on 1 second, I will show you something.
Okay.
Okay, just stay on hold. I'm glad she asked that. Listen to this, folks. Listen to this. Well, this, of course, is the sound that telephones make before they connect, but after it does that.
Sally, when the great pumpkin rises out of the pumpkin patch... We'll be here to see him. What's that? What's that? I hear the great pumpkin. There he is! There he is! It's the great pumpkin! He's rising up out of the pumpkin patch!
You may stop.
Now, I bet you're impressed at
hey,
that.
Can you do that again so I can get it on tape?
Okay, one more time. Hold on. Our telephone number is 516-632-6901. Where the hell is everyone tonight? I'd like to know that. Just, you know, call me and tell me where you are. It's something I'm interested in.
Hi, this is Dave. I can't get to the phone, but if you leave your name...
Called the wrong one.
Hello.
Okay.
Welcome to the message center.
Let me transfer myself.
Hi, you've reached the offices of...
Whoops. I keep calling the wrong
Hello.
One.
Hello. Adele.
Oh, sorry, Adele.
Welcome to the message center.
What's that number?
That is not a valid mailbox number. Please try again.
Okay.
Hi, this is 969.
No.
Hello.
Hi, this is Jeanette.
Hi, Jeanette.
Please enter your passcode.
I don't want to do that.
Welcome to the message center.
Hold on. We will find that...
This is Edward Spencer.
Oh.
I'm unable to answer your...
Sorry, Edward.
Hello.
Edward Spencer.
Yes, hello.
Please enter your pack. Welcome.
Bear with me. Bear with me a second here. Just temporarily lost in the message.
Hello. This is 873.
No, it's not.
Hello.
Bernstein residence.
Jesus. Welcome to the message center.
Let's try one more time.
Sally, when the great pumpkin rises out of the pumpkin patch, we'll be here to see him. What's that? What's that? I hear the great pumpkin. There he is! There he is! It's the great pumpkin! He's rising up out of the pumpkin patch!
There. Sorry about that.
That was great. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I just got lost there for a little while.
Yes, muchly appreciated.
Hey, that's what we're here for.
Wait, now can I ask you the rest of the questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
How many pillows do you have?
Sorry?
How many pillows do you have?
How many killers?
Pillows.
Pillows? How many pillows do I have?
Hmm?
In my whole house?
No, like on your bed.
Two, I think.
Two?
Yeah.
And who's your godfather?
Who's my godfather? I don't think I have a godfather. You know? I don't think I do.
Well,
or if I do, it was never revealed to me, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's one of those trade secrets.
And do you have a comforter on your bed?
A what?
A comforter? Like a bedspread type
thing? I thought you were saying computer with a weird dialect. Comforter. No, I don't think I do.
Well, what's like the top blanket?
It's like a spread. Yeah, I guess, is that called a comforter? I got this big quilt, you know?
That's a bedspread. Does it reach the floor?
Well, you see, my bed is on the floor, so everything reaches the floor.
Well, what color is it?
What color is what?
Spread.
The spread is blue.
Plain blue?
Sort of blue-whitish.
Ah.
Yeah.
And, which shoe do you put on first?
Which sheet do I put on first?
Which shoe
do I put on first? Let me think about that. I guess my left.
Your left?
But sometimes I put on my right, you know? And sometimes I don't wear shoes.
No.
Is it more often left, or is it like 50-50?
I would say it's more often left.
Okay.
But I'm right-handed, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that
parallels.
No,
it doesn't make a difference.
No.
And do you wait for the shower to warm up? Do you take a cold one, or do you, like, wait for the mirror to fog up?
Oh, God, I can't take a cold shower. No way.
So you wait for it to warm up?
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes that takes a good 20 minutes.
And do you eat your pancakes or waffles?
I don't have pancakes. I wish I did, but I don't. Because I always
foul it
up.
But you eat it with syrup on it.
Of course, but I always foul it up when I try making it, and then I have to buy a new pan, you know? And that's no good. Pans are expensive.
But this is really important now. Do you cut it first, then put the syrup on, or do you put the syrup on, then cut it?
No, I put the syrup on, then cut it.
Damn you!
Why? What did I do?
You do it the wrong way.
Well, maybe I'm doing it a different way. Is it necessarily the wrong way?
Yeah.
Oh.
And,
I mean, I never thought of trying it that way. I'm open to change, you know?
I'm not.
Try cutting it up so you get more surface area and you get more syrup.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Try cutting it up first, because then you get more surface area.
That's an interesting point. I guess it soaks in a little bit more.
Yeah. And where do you do your hair? Like, in the bathroom, or do you have, like, a certain spot in your room?
Well, I have a little person that comes in and does that for me. No, actually. Where do I do my hair?
Because I have, like, a little spot on my floor, and there's a mirror there.
Yeah. Various places, depending on where I happen to be at the moment.
Where is it usually?
Well, you see, you're a female, right?
Mm-hmm.
Females tend to do their hair, in quotes, more than males do.
That's not true, because we've asked these questions to so many people. So.
Oh, yeah, I know. There's some males that do their hair as much as females. That's true, but I'm not one of them. You know, I comb my hair, and it's sort of, you know, wherever it stays, that's fine with me.
So no answer for that one?
Well, you know, I guess in front of a mirror I comb my hair and I wash my hair in the bathroom, you
And
know?
What styling products do you use?
What products?
Styling products.
Could you spell that word?
Dialing.
Dialing?
Dialing.
I don't...
S-T-Y-L-I.
Oh, styling products. Oh, they're different every day. I mean, you know, whatever suits my fancy. I just, like, I'm constantly going through different shampoos and things. Yeah, I never use the same one twice.
Do you ever wear a bandana?
Sometimes.
On your head?
Well, where else would you wear one?
I don't know. And how do you tie it? Do you put your head up against the wall?
With great difficulty, actually. You know, I could use a little help in that department.
It works if you put your head against the wall, because it holds it down, and then you can just tie it.
Right. You stick your head against the wall.
Uh-huh. You press your forehead against the wall.
Uh-huh.
And so the bandana, like, stays against the wall, so you can pull against it.
Okay.
And Who's your best friend? Just first name.
Who's my best friend? I don't have a best friend. I have many friends.
Well, just...
But no one best friend. And there's no way I'm going to give a name because I'll get in a lot of trouble if I do.
Okay, and if you had to kill your best friend,
uh-huh.
How would you do it?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because I once did have to kill my best friend. How would I what?
How would you kill him?
Oh, pills. Pills are the best way.
Uh-huh.
No blood.
Ever see the movie Suburbia?
No, I never did.
Ever dye your hair?
No, I never did.
Yeah, did you alter the color at all in any way?
No, I've never altered my hair.
What are you... Like, if the world was orange and green, everything in the world was orange and green.
Yeah.
What would you think?
What would I think?
Yeah, how would you feel about it?
Well, it would put an end to communism, wouldn't it? You know, no red flags, all that kind of thing.
Do you think there would be less racism?
Well, you know, you'd have the... What colors again?
Orange and green.
Orange and green. I mean, you'd have orange people and green people, right?
Uh-huh.
And you'd have the, you know, the Martian type of slurs, and I don't think it would help things out at all.
Well, what's your biggest fear?
And then, of course, all the movies would be colorized, right? Because there wouldn't be any black and white.
Right.
Yeah, and orange and green, they just those old Jimmy Stewart films just don't look good in orange and green. I know, because I have a TV set that's all messed up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's your biggest fear?
My biggest fear?
Hmm?
Let's see. What is my biggest fear? That's a good question. You might have to probe a little bit to get that one. You can't just come up with your biggest fear off the top of your head.
I can.
Why? What's your biggest fear?
Fire.
Fire?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but fire is one of the things that keeps the planet going. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, are you saying that progress is your fear?
No, fire. Like, if someone lights a match or something, I don't
uh-huh.
know.
Well.
Fire.
Without fire, we'd be living in caves.
No.
It's true.
We're drowning.
Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, a couple more.
Oh, boy.
If you could change one thing in the world, what would it be?
If I could change one thing in... There, I'm back. No, I had to go and change my tape, and I have to go across to the other side of the room to do that. Okay, what would I change?
Hmm?
Well, definitely the New York City subway system, okay? Because it's confusing right now.
Yeah, I definitely agree. We were there today.
Right. Now, first of all, I would not have the B use the Manhattan Bridge.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It just doesn't make any sense. First of all, the Manhattan Bridge is all torn apart anyway.
Uh-huh.
I would build a special subway bridge and just have the trains go over that one. Then you don't have to worry.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, that's good. And who's number one on your death list?
Number one on my death list. let's see. That's a tough question.
It is.
Well, there was this guy in a red Subaru, okay, the other day on the expressway.
Yeah.
Not only was he weaving from lane to lane, but he was doing like 30 miles an hour, and you don't do 30 miles an hour on the expressway,
mm-hmm.
okay, for no reason whatsoever, and weave, and always weave in front of me, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell does he think he's doing?
Just pissing you off.
Well, I mean, that's something that, he's earned himself a special place in my heart, or she, or they, or whatever.
Do you like the band Gorilla Biscuits?
I don't think I'm very familiar with them.
Okay. And what's your most embarrassing moment, if you care to share it?
This might be it. And I don't think I have a choice as far as sharing it.
How do you make your twos? Do you make them with, like, the circle thing? Or?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see. How do I make my twos? Well, let's see. I'll do a two now. Okay. It looks sort of like a Z, actually.
So you make them like the original way.
It's like a little wavy line, you know?
Okay, and when you make the angle
sign... When I make a four, okay, when I make a four,
uh-huh.
it's like a covered four. It's not like an open-ended four, and it's done with one motion.
Oh, wow.
Here, listen. That was my four.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
And with the angle signs, do you put the arc in it or no arc?
I don't do angle signs.
Well, if you had to, how would you...
I would probably object and not do it. I don't do angle signs. There's no reason to do angle signs.
Back to when you had to. Like.
Well, then you'll find that's when I got into a lot of trouble.
All right, and...
But I never did it.
Is your refrigerator, is it smooth or is it, like, textured? Like, do you have little wrinkles in it?
I do have little wrinkles in it. What's that? What are they for?
I don't know. It's just character.
It's really annoying. I don't like it at all. Because, you know, you want to write things on the refrigerator sometimes and your pen gets, like, lost in those little grooves.
Oh, well, it's just something you have to deal with, I guess.
I don't like it. Anything else?
Without Scotch tape?
Sorry?
Could you live without Scotch tape?
Would there still be masking tape?
Yeah. No? Wait, no, no tape at all.
No tape. No, I couldn't live without tape. I need tape.
Just two more. Oh, yeah, what's your favorite food?
I don't have a favorite food, but there's very few things I don't like. I'll tell you one thing I really hate is corned beef hash.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I can't stand it. The mere smell of it makes me want to run away. It's just one of those things.
Are you good cook?
That's about the only thing that I hate. What?
Oh, are you a good cook?
No, I'm horrible.
No?
Well, you know, with instant microwave things, I don't mess up too badly, but anything having to do with, like, real fire, I can... Yeah, you better watch out.
Uh-huh. And yeah. What's your favorite article of clothing? Cause mine's like my Ramon shirt. I wear it whenever possible, but what's your favorite
I like
article?
My Ramon shirt, too, but it doesn't say Ramon's on it anymore. I've worn it so many times that it's now just a black shirt.
That's your favorite?
Well, that's one of my favorites because it always... You know how when you wash clothes over and over and over again, they eventually disintegrate into nothing?
Well, and it gets thinner and thinner and holes get worn in it?
This shirt has not done that for some reason.
Really?
It hasn't even shrunk. That's definitely one of my favorite shirts.
Uh-huh.
I had a yellow shirt, the band Yellow, which was really thick. That lasted a few years, and it had a picture on the front of it. But eventually, I washed that so many times that the picture became thicker than the material, so that whenever you wore it, you could feel the picture on you. Yeah, uh-huh. And that wasn't very comfortable.
Right, and the last question. Do you have any tangible possessions that you couldn't live without?
Tangible possessions that I couldn't live without? Well, probably not, because at some point I did live without all of them, right?
Yeah.
And probably at some point in the future I won't be living with any of them.
Well,
at
no,
one
like
time
something
or another.
You would really hate to live without.
Well, you know, it's all relative. For a while I'd probably hate to live without something, but I don't think there's anything I could, you know, not do without and be really upset for the rest of my life.
And your mom's middle name?
No. That one you're not going to get.
Well, I feel like I know you so much better now. Thank you.
Well, that's good. I don't know if it's good for you, but...
Your phone's ringing, so I guess you should take their call. Huh?
Yeah, the phones are lighting up like Christmas trees now. So now that I put myself on the spot and embarrassed myself in front of millions of people, I just hope you're happy.
I am, and I know you so much better now.
Why does that worry me?
What does that mean?
Oh, I don't know. I just have a feeling I'm going to be... hit with all kinds of references for the rest of my life, you know. So, your rug is green, huh? We know what that means.
Uh-huh.
What, may I ask you one question?
Sure.
What's new in your life this week? That's what I'm trying to get out of people. Did anything happen?
Well, let me think.
No. Nothing? Nothing at all?
I can't remember.
Went
to the city today.
What'd you do in the city?
Had a good time, don't want to talk about it, no money left.
Did you go to the rally?
No.
The El Salvador rally? I'm trying to find somebody who went to that.
Where?
In New York City.
No.
There was supposed to be like a million people and you couldn't have missed it.
Well, there were a whole bunch of like die-ins at the Union about it.
Did you see a die-in at the Union?
No, but a lot of my friends were there.
Uh-huh. Did they participate?
Yeah. They like, everyone had a red armband, they just lie down on the floor, play dead, and someone was speaking. And like so they covered like the whole floor so people had to step all over them.
Uh-huh. That's something you don't think about, you know? It's like all these people being killed in El Salvador cause a great deal of inconvenience to those that want to get by.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad someone pointed that out.
But really, I don't think there's anything new. But soon I'll have new sneakers, so...
You will?
That'll be new. Finally.
You remember walking...
Yeah, remember walking in the snow and kept complaining because we had no bottoms to our sneakers?
Well, if I had walked in the snow looking for something to drink, I wouldn't have complained.
Which never happened, of course.
This is all a theoretical conversation.
Of course. Except for those questions.
Except for the questions. They're 100% accurate.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm going to go to some more calls.
All
thanks
right.
for calling and for publicly humiliating me on the air.
No problem.
Hey, it's the least you could do, right? Thanks.
Bye.
Goodbye. 632-6901. That's our telephone number. Good evening. Oh, go ahead. I hear you.
What's hanging?
What's hanging? Okay, another question. Nothing. What's new with you, man?
You see,
huh?
You want to know this.
You want to know what?
Suppose, regarding that litany of rather lame questions that was cold, Steve.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Do you think you would have the same patience, the same forbearance to put up with all those questions if they had been posed by a gentleman with a rather annoying voice as opposed to a possibly cute young lady?
Well, let me think about that. I'll have to try to imagine somebody with an annoying voice in my head.
Perhaps you might hear one when you play back that tape. Is it true that you tape all your shows? That's awfully egotistical. In fact, it's verging on being solipsistic, wouldn't you say, E.C.?
Wouldn't I say that? I might say that, but then again, who am I to say anything?
Well, I think the young lady you just called, she and her friends should go in, when they buy sneakers, they should buy two pairs together. Buy those high top kids, and that way she should buy a green pair and a purple pair, and then she could wear the left green kid with the purple right kid, and her friend could wear vice versa.
You've thought this all out, haven't you?
I think it would be totally happening.
You know, well, you don't go to a shoe store that throws out good shoes and slashes them. That's all I have to say. So if you know of any shoe stores that do that, don't go to those shoe stores.
Tom McCann's live.
Well, we did mention them a couple of weeks ago, I remember.
Well, what were you like in high school?
What was I like in high school? Oh, younger, I suppose.
Suspicions that you were kind of a dweeb in high school.
Well, you see, we didn't have the word dweeb in high school then. You know, we didn't.
Well, I think a dweeb is kind of a nerd with some social, passable social skills, wouldn't you say?
Such as what? The ability to talk or something?
The ability to fool 5% of the people 10% of the time, something like that.
I don't know what I was. You know, there were all these groups in high school. There were the jocks, there were the nerds, there were the deadheads. There's all these deadheads. And I somehow didn't feel like I was a part of any of them. You know, I just sort of, I wandered from place to place and knew people from all these groups. But there was other people that just weren't, you know, members of a group. And I like to think of myself as that, you know.
What do you do in real life?
In real life? I stand aside and let it come by, you know?
How would you peg your demographic profile, if you will?
Peg my demographic profile? These questions are getting harder and harder.
Mine are off the top of my head. I just can't come up with lame questions.
Yeah. How would I peg my what? Can you maybe rephrase that question?
In terms of that Madison Avenue would be interested, how would you describe yourself?
I would say I am a historian.
A hysterectomy?
You see, I watch life go by and I record it.
Got lots of tapes.
Lots of tapes. I want to record all the noise.
You know, during your sojourn in Europe, you had an interesting fill-in. Tom Faker?
Yeah?
He filled in for you, and he had an interesting, he had a show about double standards. Yeah, double standards. And I called in and said you should call it Hypocrisy Made Manifest. Same difference.
Uh-huh.
You played Brain Damage Incorporated about a month ago?
Yes, I did, in fact. Did you like that?
The heights of sophomoric antics, wouldn't you say?
Oh, thank you very much, yes.
Yeah.
So you liked it?
One of your tapes from the archives, huh?
Sort of. Not really. Not too much of an archive.
Jerking around the operators in the phone company. Oh, too many vowels. Oh, yeah, too many vowels. I was stuck to my chair, overcome with laughter. Tell me this, EC. How can you judge someone else calling up and being juvenile or being stupid when those kinds of things went over the air not too long ago, I suppose?
Well, you have to know it yourself, right? You have to be a part of something in order to be able to classify it.
Well, you obviously should know it better than anyone, if you are indeed a committed libertarian, if you believe in free speech and all that. I think you shouldn't cut people off so quickly. In fact, I hope one show, let's just make this commitment for one show.
Okay.
Eventually sometime, it could be EC's commitment to free speech day, where you would allow everyone at least 1 minute to do whatever they wanted as long as they didn't spew forth racial epithets or say words that would cause the station to lose their license. But a minute, I mean, if some anal retentive slob wants to come on and do, 45 seconds of nonsense before he gets on his thing, I would like to hear that. I mean, I think there's a place for juvenile delinquents, and maybe it even is WUSB.
Well, we certainly have enough of them working here, so maybe you're right.
And you've got millions more that aren't even allowed to call up and be on the air.
Think about that. Well, all the juvenile delinquents out there, before you commit your various crimes, give us a call. Let us know what you're up to. We care. We want to know. 632-6901. And
it's too cold to be out on their skateboards right now, isn't it?
No, not really. I've seen people out on their skateboards. In fact, I know people who skateboard in Manhattan at 3 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the winter. And I say, God bless them. That's what I say. I don't mean it, but I say it. Yes. Thanks very much for that silence, sir. I enjoyed it very much. Yeah. 4 minutes after 11 o'clock, the program is Brain Damage. It's WUSB in Stony Brook, and we're talking about all kinds of neat things, although what exactly they are, I don't know yet. Good evening.
Hi, Mr. Russell Lawrence, please.
Sorry?
Russell Lawrence?
Huh?
May I speak to Russell Lawrence, please?
Well, I don't know that name.
Yes.
Do you want to be on the radio?
On the radio?
Yeah. Do you want to be on the radio?
Sure, why not?
Well, you're on the radio now.
Who's this?
Sorry?
Who's this?
This is the call-in program that you've called into.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have dialed the wrong number.
Ah. Are you trying to call the radio station?
Oh, no.
Oh, well, you did, you see.
Who's this?
Sorry?
Who's this?
This is Eric.
Oh, hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right, my name is John.
Your name is John?
Yeah.
Where are you from, John?
I'm Stony Brook.
You're a Stony Brook student?
Yep.
Where are you from?
Oh, where am I from? I'm from India.
You're from India?
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, do you ever think about destiny, about you being from India here on campus, just dialing a wrong number, and now you're speaking to thousands of people over the radio?
Oh, my God, I must be lucky.
Isn't that incredible? Well, now that fate has thrown you in this position, what do you have to say to these people? You have any words of advice or wisdom?
Oh, no. There's no wisdom. Everybody's smart.
You put yourself to shame, John. Now, look, you have something important to say. That's why you're here now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, come on. What's your philosophy of life?
Loss of your life, party, and study.
There you go. That's
the only thing.
You got the Stony Brook spirit there,
I guess. Oh, this is a Stony Brook station, right?
This is a Stony Brook station. In fact, if you turn on your radio right now at this very moment, you'll hear your voice. Except you probably don't know what the frequency of the station is, do you?
I think it's 90.1, is it?
That's right. That's right. You know, most students don't know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people know about it. Oh, your name is Eric, that's right. So a couple of people were talking about you before.
Yeah, well, it's not true, whatever they said.
Oh, really? No, actually, they were saying a nice thing about you. They said that your program is very good.
Uh-huh.
Only on certain days, though.
Well, yeah, only on Saturdays. That's the only day I'm on. But why don't they call, you know? Why isn't our switchboard lighting up and bursting with calls?
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, I mean, it should be. We're not getting enough calls here. We want people to call up.
Broadcast,
you know?
What days?
Sorry?
What days do you broadcast?
Well, I'm on Saturday nights from 10 to 12, but we broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds good.
We do a gosh darn good job of it, too, I might add. Do you listen to the radio much?
Yeah, once in a while.
Uh-huh.
Other time, movies, you know.
Yeah? What are you studying?
Electrical engineering.
Really? Why don't you come over here and work for us?
Sure, if you give me the job.
Well, we need people to fix things around here, like broken cart machines, for one thing.
I'm not into fixing, I'm into designing.
Ah, you want to build us a new cart machine, then?
Possibly, if you pay me well.
Well, any electrical engineers out there, please feel free to come by and just lend your experience.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
For one thing, none of the clocks in this whole studio tell the same time, you know? And that's something I'd like to get fixed.
Probably.
It's either 3 minutes after 11 or 7 minutes after 11. There's two different clocks in this room, and I don't know what time it is. But
you can take the average of it, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I'd make it 11:05, wouldn't it?
Okay,
what part of campus are you in?
Oh, I'm in Kelly Quad.
Kelly Quad?
Yeah, I guess my friend, Russell Lawrence and George Chu, they're probably listening also then, I guess.
Maybe. You never know who's out there.
Pretty sure they like this, you know, your program.
Uh-huh.
So I just want to say hello to them, you know?
What part of India are you from?
New Delhi.
New Delhi?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never been there. I'd like to go there.
Well, actually, I live there, but I'm actually from a different country. I'm from Nepal, actually.
Really? I've wanted to go there, too. That's I don't know many people from Nepal. In fact, I don't think I know anybody from
Nepal. Well, actually, there aren't any people in this university except me. I'm the only one in the school.
Wow. That must feel really strange.
Not really. I mean, it's uh-huh. Okay. I guess I'm getting along with people, so it's all right.
Is Nepal on good terms with India?
Right now, I don't think so.
No?
There's some problem, I think, right now.
Yeah?
But that's with the politics only, so, you know, people, I guess, they get along.
So maybe it's to your advantage not to advertise the fact that you're from Nepal to the Indian people on campus.
It's okay. We people get along, you know. It's uh-huh. The politicians who have the problem, not us.
You know, you're right about that. I've noticed that the people tend to get along, and it's just the leaders that screw things up for everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like,
true.
You know, the Soviet citizens, they seem to like the American citizens, and we seem to like them, but it's the leaders that get into the fights.
Yeah, that's the main problem.
Yeah.
But it's just all right, I guess. You know, I had no problem so far, so I had no problem telling who I am from, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it's okay.
That's good. What's the climate like in Nepal?
Excuse me?
What's the climate like in Nepal?
Oh, it's right now, I'm pretty sure it's pretty cold.
Yeah?
Yeah, but the place where I'm from is doesn't snow, you know.
Uh-huh.
Kathmandu, that's the main capital.
It's a mountainous area, right?
In the country, yeah, you can see, like, if you're in the capital, you know, if you, like, turn 360 degrees, you can see the mountain all around, you know.
Uh-huh.
All 360 degrees.
That's pretty good. Are you going to go back there soon?
Just to visit, I guess, you know. I live here right now.
Uh-huh. So you're gonna stay in this country?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I will.
Great. Well...
Nice talking to you, then.
It's nice that you called our number by mistake. I hope you get the right number.
Well, I'll call my friend again.
Okay.
I guess I was lucky to talk to you, so...
Okay, well, you can tell everybody you're on the radio, and hopefully you'll listen next week.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
632-6901. You know, that's ironic. The person that called us by mistake had the most to say. That's incredible. What does that say? What does that say for USB listeners? Good evening.
Good evening. I find you to be incredibly boring, and I hope sincerely you never get a professional job on a New York radio station. Good night.
All set from the heart, I guess, right? Yeah, okay. I'm glad he had to wait 45 minutes to say that. Good evening.
Yes. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, no offense, but I think you're a total loser.
Okay, none taken.
And I agree with everything that other guy said.
That what other guy said?
That guy who said that you're really boring and that he hopes that you never get a job on. Well, I know that you'll never get a job on the New York radio.
Okay.
Because. You're a total loser, and the other thing is, it's real easy to call in. I only waited about five minutes to call in, and then I had the pleasure of calling you a total loser. So go get a life.
Sir, how do you feel about what you have said now? Do you feel good? I guess so, because he just dropped the phone. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
How are you?
Sound like a rational person.
I've been scanning through the FM dial.
Uh-huh.
And heard your show.
Uh-huh.
And
good.
I heard you also suggest to your listening audience that you never know who's listening.
That's true. You never know.
Well, about two calls ago, you had a gentleman who sounded an awful lot like someone that my dad worked with in Hollywood.
Really?
Remember Leo Corsi of the Bowery Boys?
I think so.
Well, he sounded an awful lot like that. My dad was Hunts Hall.
Uh-huh.
He was the goofy guy with the hat, and they were a good team for many years. And we just happened to have been turning through, just listening to some old music on another station, and I heard you say, you never know who's listening out there. And I thought that was quite amusing. I'm sure some of your listeners might have seen the Bowery Boys or the Dead End Kids or the East Side Kids on TV. And it was an institution back in the 1940s and 50s.
Uh-huh.
And my dad, God bless him, still alive and still swinging out there. I want to ask you something, though. Your college, do you guys ever play big band music? Do you have any big band shows on the radio?
Well, we've got Jazz on the Air, which I know sometimes lapses into that kind of thing. We also play that kind of thing on Sunday afternoon sometimes.
Yeah, so because the colleges out in California, they sort of hip to the big band sound.
Yeah.
And it's unreal to turn on and listen to guys that are about 22, 23 years old talking about Benny Goodman and Gene Krupa and Buddy Rich. I think that's great.
It is, and it's a good place to get introduced to that kind of thing here at USB because, you know, we only have about 40,000 records, and a lot of them are jazz and big band and things like that, and, you know, we're learning, too.
Well, you know, growing up in Studio City in California, because my mom was born in New York City, so was my dad, but of course they split up. My mom wanted to stay out here in the East, and my dad went out West. The first picture they did was Dead End, and that was with Humphrey Bogart. And being brought up in that area, in that time, you were familiar with the big band leaders because they, if they enjoyed what your dad did, they would, you know, become friends and they'd come over to the house, and you never realized how lucky you were until you grow up. Now I'm 46 years old, and I look back and I say, man, did those people entertain me at my house? I can't believe it. And, you know, it's amazing that they listen to the music today, and I said, yeah, I wish I was around back then. I wish I could have just felt that music the way it was when it was live.
Yeah, I mean, nothing can compare to that.
No, I don't think so, because today you have the heavy metal and the other kind of music, and I don't know, it's just strange. You know,
well,
you turn around, you see that so many things have changed. I don't know.
Yeah, but you see, if things didn't change, it would be boring, and the good things would lose their appeal if they just stayed the same all the time, you know?
Well, sure. I mean, I don't know how far you can use the word progress. You know, people tell me progress is great, but, you know, that word could be very demeaning at times, can't it?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, look, I just wanted to call you and tell you that there are other people, auspicious as it may seem, out there listening to you.
And what city are you in, sir?
I'm in Long Island right now temporarily, but we're going back out to to Laramie, Wyoming first, and then to back to California again.
What part of Long Island are you in?
Right now I'm in Plainview.
Plainview?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. You're in Nassau County.
Nassau County, yeah. I just came back from Ronkonkoma, and I heard you on the radio, and I said, I've got to call you up, because that was very amusing, by the way, when those girls were asking you those 616 questions.
Well, I thought it was embarrassing, but I'm glad you thought it was amusing.
Oh, you handled it very well. And if you can, if someone out there in the audience has ever heard of course they have, the Bowery Boys, just call up, because I'd like to know their feelings about that kind of satire back then, because it's so realistic, I think.
Okay, well,
as you can hear, I'm proud of my dad. Hunts Hall was a genius at what he did.
Oh, you should be.
I don't think, like the Marx Brothers or the Three Stooges, along that line, that was hard work.
Uh-huh, it sure was.
That is something, like you say, well, progress and this and that. Well, in those days, you had people that really strive to become great. And I think for someone to say, well, they just threw pies, or they were arrogant, and they were demeaning, I doubt that. I think if you look at them, it was an art form.
What would you suggest for someone younger who is interested in learning more about that? What's the best way to go about it?
Well, I tell you, thank goodness there are video stores where you can go and pick up some of the tapes. I know my dad, Hunts, and Leo, they made over 127 movies. And I think if you look, well, the Three Stooges made 176 movies. I think the video stores has the finest. I think some of the ones out here are great, even better than some of the ones we have in California. And then you study and you watch and look at these comics, because, you know, it's awfully hard to be funny. I mean, it's easier, I think, to be serious, to act mad, to act sad, because these are things that come about every day.
And, of course, people expect you to act funny when you don't want to be funny in real life, you know.
Yeah, like they tell Dad, they tell my father, they say, Hunts, now act stupid, now's your chance. your wife left you, or you have a problem, or someone's suing you, and all of a sudden you're going to say something stupid or funny. And it's kind of hard, but I think the young people today should really watch those movies, and they can learn so damn much.
Yeah, I mean, the link to the past, that's the key.
Well,
about
you know, we used to go to Ebbets Field to see the Dodgers play in Brooklyn. And you say, well, how many things have changed since then? And people say there was a team in Brooklyn called the Dodgers.
One thing I'm curious about, where is Ebbets Field now? I mean, I know it doesn't exist anymore, but what's in its place?
Okay, now it's called the Jackie Robinson Houses. What they've done, they knocked down the field, they knocked down the field April 17, 1960. And they built the Ebbets Field Apartments. And, of course, when Jackie Robinson died, they renamed that apartment complex to the Jackie Robinson Complex. Jackie Robinson was one of the finest baseball players that ever lived, played for Brooklyn only. And in 1957, he was traded to the New York Giants, which was an arch enemy of the Dodgers, and he retired. So, of course, being the first black in baseball, not only the first black, but one of the greater baseball players of all time, I think it was justified to call Ebbets Field Jackie Robinson, complex. I think that was just fine.
I wonder if everybody who lives there knows that.
Yeah, they do. My goodness, they have pictures in the lobby. You know, you walk into the lobby, it's like a miniature Ebbets Field inside.
Really?
The pictures of Duke Snyder and Gil Hodges and pictures of celebrities sitting in the stands. And I'll tell you something, Eric. If you go there now, and this is the last time the Dodgers played in Brooklyn, my dad Hunts took me to the last games in September of 1957. You can still smell the beer and the peanuts and the hot dogs. I mean, it's strange. And people say, well, that's crazy. How can you still smell something like that? But you can.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why, or maybe it's just...
These things, they stay with... I mean, even I remember the Duke Snyder fan club.
Oh, it's just fantastic. It was so great. And the Dodgers left, I think, a piece of New York. Even if you're out in California growing up, a piece of New York left when the Dodgers moved out to L.A. I thought it was kind of strange going to high school in California and saying, hey, you know, I know these Dodgers. What are they doing here?
You mean you moved with the Dodgers?
No, I moved in 50... Hold on one second.
Yeah. That'd be a dedicated person who follows a team. School and everything.
Close. I moved in 55 when the Dodgers won the World Series out here in Brooklyn.
So you moved...
Leaving Brooklyn and going out to my dad was a trauma because I missed Brooklyn. I missed everything about it. Coney Island and Prospect Park.
You moved and then the Dodgers followed you.
Yeah, they said, listen, he was one of our best fans. He was never drunk. He knew what happened in the ninth inning. Let's go out there to L.A. and see him.
That must have been something.
Well, when they went to L.A., they became pretty famous because, you know, all the guys, all the entertainers, Cary Grant and Gable and, of course, Marilyn Monroe, who was a Dodger fan all the time anyway because she loved the Brooklyn Dodgers. Jack Benny, who was a fantastic, he was just a great person to know. Benny Goodman, who loved the Dodgers and followed them out there. I couldn't. I thought it was kind of strange seeing the Brooklyn Dodgers out in L.A. And, of course, you know, seeing Duke Snyder, who... They played in the Los Angeles Coliseum, which was a football field. And to see a baseball team playing in the Coliseum where the left field line was 250 feet down the line was pretty stupid. And it didn't make any sense. Chavez Ravine wasn't built yet. So the Dodgers moved out there, and all of Hollywood went out there and made them famous. Everyone out there visited the Dodgers, and everyone rooted for the Dodgers.
It'd be interesting to see if there's other people out there that share some of those memories. So we're going to give out the phone number again, 632-6901. Thanks for calling, sir. And
beautiful.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Our number, again, 632-6901. We have one open line, and we'll go right back to the phones right after this public service announcement. Was a public service announcement, and this is something else.
Thank you for calling Shell's Action Line. You have reached our automated inquiry service.
I didn't want to call that. I called that 2 weeks ago. Let's see. There's another number on here I wanted to call. The number for you to call is 632-6901. And we'll take your calls as soon as we can. We've got an open line or two right now. 632-6901, area code 516. And something else of interest, too, which I'm going to get to.
Please enter the number you are calling.
Okay. 516-632-6901.
Please enter your code.
Oh, my code. Okay, on to this code. I don't use that code very often, but when I do, it usually works.
We're sorry. The code you have entered is not valid.
What?
Authorization to make this call is denied.
Oh, well, I never. Deny my authorization, will you? I'm not going to sit around and take this. I am not going to sit around and take this kind of nonsense from a computer. And hopefully you don't have to take it. Hopefully you can just pick up your phone and dial a number without having your authorization denied. On the air. It's embarrassing. 632-6901. Did anybody see the paper yesterday? New York Times. An advertisement in the B section. You thought I didn't see this, did you? But I did. I found it. It was a little tiny ad, but it was an important ad. And it was something that I've been waiting for a very long time. Ready? Congratulations to the people of Albania. That's right. On the occasion of the 45th anniversary of their liberation from Nazi fascist occupation, November 29th, 1944, as a result of their hard work and without any foreign aid, they are proudly celebrating the following achievements. There are no taxes on the people. There is no inflation. The standard of living is steadily improving. There is no unemployment. All medical care is free. Diseases of the past have been wiped out. There are no cases of AIDS. The lifespan is now 72 years. All citizens, rural and urban, are covered by free Social Security, including old age pensions, disability, maternity benefits, etc. Education is free, including the Andhra Hoxha, whose name I never could pronounce, university in Tirana. Illiteracy has been wiped out. So have illiterates. No, only kidding. There is no problem of drug addiction, no beggars or homeless people, no crime in the streets, which are clean and free of garbage. There is no housing crisis. Rents are very low, only 3% of family income. Pollution is prohibited by the Constitution. The air and water are clear and safe. The country is now self-sufficient in bread and other food supplies. Industry is steadily developing, producing oil, coal, chrome, copper, iron, nickel, and electric power, much of it for export. The economy and defense are based on self-reliance, with no dependence on any foreign power. There is no foreign debt, never any budget deficit or foreign trade deficit. Albania has diplomatic relations with over 110 countries, trade with over 50, commercial air flights from France, Italy, Switzerland, West Germany, East Germany, Greece, Hungary, Romania, and charters from London. Women enjoy full equality in economic, political, social, and family life. National minorities are guaranteed equal rights. All citizens enjoy freedom of speech and assembly. And that's what's happening in Albania. And that ad was put in the New York Times by American Friends of Albania, P.O. Box 912, New York, New York, 10008. Let's see if they've got a listener. Let's see if they have a phone number. You know, these would be good people to know. Always interested in finding out more about Albania. Actually, there is...
We are unable to provide normal service...
The hell with you people.
If possible, please consult your white or yellow page directory.
Supposedly the strike will be over by Monday. That's what I'm told.
Please hold on.
I think we should all get a big refund for the 4 or so months that we haven't had any service. Now, Albania does not allow any Americans in their country, and, what else? You can't make a phone call to Albania, as we've proven many, many times. You can't make phone calls around here either, it seems. If you're interested in this, it's in the B section of yesterday's New York Times. What a pain this is. I can't stand this. All I want is a phone number, and I have to go through all this recording. Ah. Congratulations to the people of Albania. Yes. Yes, hello. I'm looking for the telephone number for American Friends of Albania in New York, please.
That's in Manhattan?
Yes, it should be.
American Friends of who?
Albania.
A-L?
Oh, boy. A-L-B-A-N-I-A.
Where is this located, in Manhattan?
Well, I only have a P.O. box as an address.
I'm sorry?
I just have a P.O. box as an address. I don't have a street address.
Mm-mm.
I sense she's having difficulty.
You said it's spelled A-L, right?
Yes. Do you have any American friends at all?
Yes.
Lots of them. What are some of the American friends that are listed there?
Let's see, I want to know if it's in Brooklyn, Queens, or Manhattan.
Well, the address is in New York, New York, so I assume it's in Manhattan, but they might have a phone number in Brooklyn or something.
Yeah, okay, I have American friends of Albania, you said?
Yeah.
What part of Albania from? Where's Albania from?
Albania is, it's a, in a part of Europe, it borders on Greece. It's across the Adriatic Sea from Italy.
Okay, I have American friends of IFO Medical something.
Of what?
American friends of Best something, Biotech Institution, Voice Tone. What are these lists of names?
No,
I have no idea what they are.
That doesn't sound like Albania to me.
One moment, okay?
Okay. I wonder what magic she's going to...
Spell Albania, A-L, you said?
Yes, A-L.
A-L-B?
A-L-B.
Yeah,
A-L-B-A. A-L-B-A.
Sure?
Positive. Operators can be so helpful. I suspect they don't have a phone number. Just a hunch.
Free Albania Committee.
Free Albania Committee. Okay, that'll do.
Right? It's on Fifth Avenue. You want to try it?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Bye-bye. Stand it on.
The number is area code 212-691-9797. Area code 212-691-9797.
9797.
Well, that's the Free Albania Committee, which would probably be in sharp disagreement with the ad that we just read, since the ad that we just read says that Albania is, in fact, free. So, they don't have a number. The Friends, American Friends of Albania don't have a number, but Free Albanians do. So we'll try to find out more about this in coming weeks. If anyone has seen that ad or likes more information about it, please call in. Hey, you know, I saw it. I don't think I have it here, but I saw this... here it is. Here it is. In the Times today, it's a little short story. Dateline Las Vegas, Nevada. Listen to this, folks, and weep. The comedian Red Fox was left with only a bed after agents of the IRS seized his property Tuesday to help pay $755,000 he owes in back taxes. Mr. Fox's business manager, Prince Spencer, said on Thursday. The agents seized furniture and cars and even a gold chain and rings that Mr. Fox was wearing, Mr. Spencer said. Standing outside his three-bedroom home in Las Vegas to be sold by the IRS, Mr. Fox told reporters, "They've taken everything. This is so unfair." I can't really do a Red Fox, Fred Sanford-type voice, but I can imagine. I can imagine him standing out there saying, "Oh, Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey." Can you imagine that? He's only got a bed? Is that really what they're saying here? Mr. Fox has been left with just a bed, no house. Would they move the bed out into the street or something? Or does he have access to the bed inside the house? I wonder. And why the bed, you know? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And if he owes $755,000 in back taxes, he must have made an awful lot of money to get to that stage, right? So doesn't he have a lot of money in the first place? You know? All kinds of questions can be raised here. Red Fox. That's a name I haven't heard in a while. 11:35, 25 minutes to 12 o'clock. The program is Brain Damage. The number is 632-6901. Back to the phones. Good evening.
Yeah, let's talk about Brain Damage, Red Fox, for a minute. He owed back taxes for how many years?
Did it say how many years? No, it doesn't say how many years. About $755,000. Can you believe that?
Well, you know what happened is they let him to the house. They said they'd give him a couple of days. They just left him... the bed in the bedroom, from what I've heard.
Just the bed in the bed. So he can go into the house, but only use the bed.
Yeah.
What about the bathroom?
Because the entire house was wiped out, and they said that even what was estimated would still not cover the amount of taxes that he owes.
Wow. Now, does he have anything socked away in a savings account somewhere?
Who the hell knows? I mean, if he pulled that, I mean, who knows what he's got someplace else?
Well, I just hate to think of Red Fox being penniless, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean... he's got some show he's doing at one of the casinos, and he's making big bucks from what I understand. I mean, I don't know any exact figures, but...
I mean, to owe $755,000 in taxes, I mean, I'm not an expert on this stuff, but you must have made a lot of money to do that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
But you also, I mean, look how much he evaded, you know what I mean? I mean, there has to be a problem there, you know?
Yeah, there's some discrepancy here. That's definitely true. Boy.
With that Albanian issue.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a little hard to swallow that. I mean...
Well, to swallow the fact that there's no drug addiction, no housing crisis, no pollution, everyone's self-sufficient, there's industry and everyone's happy and all that kind of thing, you find it hard to swallow, huh?
Yeah, utopia.
Yeah. Wow, what's this, a cry of dissent in utopia here?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Well, now, do you have any knowledge of this country?
No, I don't. I wish I did.
Yeah, it's a strange place. They don't allow Americans in, and they're not too crazy about the Soviets or the Chinese. But there they are in the middle of Europe, kind of an isolationist society. And it's just kind of weird to see this suddenly appear in the paper like this. They've been completely, you know, people are saying Romania is completely untouched by glasnost and by the democratization, but same thing in Albania. They're even more completely untouched.
Sort of weird. I don't know. Can a utopia exist?
Uh-huh. I think it's just interesting that that people think a utopia exists, you know, even if they're crazy or something, but just the fact that there's a society where people are saying this, you know, and they're the ones in charge.
I don't know. I just don't believe it, you know. I'd like to see it to believe it.
Well, fat chance of that. You're an American, right?
Yeah.
You can't go there. No, no Americans allowed. So, And you can't even call there. You can't make a phone call to Albania. Not, you know, not a delay or anything. You can't.
Well, look how hard it is to get their whatever embassy or, I mean, you can't even get through to any of their organizations. What do you think?
Uh-huh.
Can you get a call through to them?
Uh-huh. I don't think so.
Especially, I like that operator. She was...
Well, she tried. I got to give her credit for that. She to find the Free Albania Society, I don't know what she had to do to get that, because Albania wasn't the first word. So she had to do some kind of massive computer scan to find, you know, to find the phrase.
Yeah. Well, at least she was helpful.
She was helpful, yes. My hat's off to her. It's just too bad we had to wait so long to get her.
Yeah.
But come Monday, that should all change.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. All right, sir. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good evening. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes, it's you. You're on the air.
Is it Eric?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is George.
Hi, George.
I was calling to respond to my friend John.
Your friend John who called by accident?
Yeah, he was looking for Russell Rollins and George Chu.
Uh-huh.
I'm George.
Oh, you're George. Were you listening before, or did he call you and tell you to listen?
Mm-hmm.
Which?
Huh?
Were you listening before he called?
I was listening before he called.
Oh.
So I just want to say hi to him. What a lucky guy.
Wow. Can you believe he called
I don't
accident?
Believe. It's hard to believe. He made such a blunder.
Yeah. Well, was the number he was trying to call very similar to our number, or was it completely different?
I think it's very similar.
Uh-huh. So maybe he did make an honest mistake and just got patched through to us by some fate of destiny, you know?
Uh-huh. So, yeah. There's one question I want to ask you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. What do you think about the Chinese right now?
Right now, you know, it's annoying because we don't hear anything. We don't hear any news. It's all kind of like quiet. And it's sad in a way because, you know, there's got to be some spark of dissent there. There have to be people that are still trying to fight what the government has done. But we're not hearing anything about it, and therefore we can't support it. We can't, you know, send the faxes or whatever.
But have you wondered that why those Eastern Europe, they got more democratic lately than, but in China, they have a mass massacre.
Well, you know, I think it's all in the approach of the government. I mean, you know, they could have crushed the thing at the beginning, you know, with the East Germans. They could have closed off all the borders and massacred people and things like that, and there wouldn't be marches in the street. But you have to understand, those people were inspired by someone in the Soviet Union, Gorbachev.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no such counterpart for him in China. So they were sort of following his lead, and so therefore there was more support for what they were doing because they were following what he told them to do, indirectly. But, you know, that hasn't happened yet in China. You know, hopefully sometime it will.
Well, the Deng Xiaoping, he was very popular, like 1 or 2 years ago.
He was, yeah. In fact, they were calling him a reformer.
The reformer.
Yeah.
And the Zhao Ziyang, he's also a reformer. He got ousted during the student pro-democracy.
He was the one that was siding with the students, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And do you think that those students, they want to stay in Tiananmen Square for a long time? Do you think that's right?
Do I think what's right?
To keep staying in the Tiananmen Square.
For the students to stay like they did in the spring?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, I think
alone.
If you believe in something, yes, you know, no matter what the law is, no matter what somebody tells you to do, if you believe in something, you should do it. And, you know, to my knowledge, they weren't hurting anybody by being there, you know?
This is the communists that you're dealing with. It's not America. You have to, you know, if you keep doing like this, they're going to lose face, and I don't think that's appropriate for them to stay that long.
Uh-huh.
It's good to show their points by showing up, but there's no point to stay there forever.
Well, now, you know, the
one leader named Wu Kaixi,
right?
He agreed that they should leave the square before the crackdown.
Uh-huh.
Because of this, he was the student leader.
Uh-huh.
But because of this, they threw him out.
Yeah, I heard about that. So you're saying you think the students should have left before the crackdown, which I guess you're saying they knew was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what would have happened next then? If they had left before the crackdown, what would have been the next step?
Well, at least, because those students, I think they are innocent. It is. I think it's better to for them to be alive than to be dead.
Uh-huh.
They are. You know, the Beida, you know, the one of the best university in the country. They are the, you know, the best people in the country. If they survive, they can do something. But they all got killed. So they cannot do anything right now.
That's true, except be martyrs. So where do you think it stands now? Are you in touch with people over there?
No. Actually, I'm not from China. Actually, I'm from Taiwan.
Uh-huh.
One of the Taiwan and China, they are enemy right now.
Yeah.
And usually on the campus, you know, the people from Taiwan, they don't really want to get along with people from China, and vice versa. That's one of typical, you know, one of main characteristics of Chinese people. They don't get together.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, I think the China crisis is more like a cultural thing than, you know, because those things happen in history, in Chinese history. Those people who are in control, they cross people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it happens a lot in Chinese history. This is one of the recent examples. And the one thing I admire the Western world is that they don't usually do that.
Uh-huh.
And I think the Eastern Europe, they got what do you call it? I can't find a word to describe it, but they got liberalized.
Liberated, right.
Liberated, whatever.
Right, but do you see, the only way they could have done that was to do what they did. In other words, just march in the streets. They couldn't just...
March to the street, but I think the leaders, they are more... I think it's more like a cultural thing, because I don't think Chinese leaders are ready to accept those kind of stuff.
No, quite obviously they're not. I think the Eastern European leaders, most of them, except for Romania and Albania, are more tolerant of this kind of thing. You know, what do you think personally is going to happen in China, and over what time frame?
Okay, I personally think that China will be in chaos within 3 years, especially after Deng Xiaoping died, because there are a lot of disagreements.
Did you see the bit in the newspaper that a couple of weeks ago? He said, "Don't pay attention to anything I say in case it's something crazy."
Uh-huh.
He said that. He said, I might say crazy things because I'm getting older, so don't pay any attention to me. I swear he said that.
The Deng Xiaoping?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that?
Uh-huh.
Well, even though he retired, I think he's still in control.
And then you have the Hong Kong situation. What's that, a 97?
97, uh-huh.
So that's going to be quite a cause for chaos.
Uh-huh, that's very, I don't know what, a lot of people left Hong Kong, you know, to South Asia, to Japan, to Canada. They don't want to be ruled by the communists.
And I could see their apprehension, why they have apprehension after what happened in the spring.
Especially after the massacres.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty sad. Because those people are, you know, they are the middle class. Without middle classes, then the economy of Hong Kong will be doomed instantly, I think.
What do you think of American press coverage of this whole thing?
Well, I think American coverage of this is too emotional. I don't think they are more... There are things that are exaggerated, but they do it all the time, and what can you say?
Yeah. Well, I'm watching some of the Eastern Europe developments. I feel like I'm watching a propaganda film sometimes.
Huh?
So, you know, the fall of communism and all that. It's a lot more intricate than that. You know, it's just a lot of changes, and it's part of the development of communism and the development of capitalism and development of mankind.
Uh-huh.
So, it's not a victory for one side and a defeat for the other side. I think it's a victory for all people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyway, thanks very much for calling, and you keep listening.
Okay, thank you very much.
632-6901 is our telephone number. And, folks, I almost forgot. I don't want to forget this. Very important event coming up tomorrow night. Listen.
This flag means one thing to the powers that be, and something else to all of us. Everything bad this system has done and continues to do to people all over the world has been done under this flag. So to you, we say, express yourself. SAB Lecture Series 1989 presents Joey Johnson, the notorious flag burner arrested in 1984 at a Texas demonstration where the U.S. imperialist flag was burnt in an action of true political protest. Should the government enforce forced patriotism and reverence to the flag? Joey Johnson will be speaking on campus at the State University of New York at Stony Brook in the auditorium December the 3rd. That's this Sunday, December the 3rd at 8:30 p.m. sharp. Further information, 516-632-6464. That's 516-632-6464. Tickets are on sale now at the box office. $3 for students, $5 for non-students. This has been a public service announcement of SAB Lecture Series and WSB.
And folks, no matter what you think about this whole flag controversy, Joey Johnson's the guy that started it back in 1984, and it's because of him that everybody in the country and the world is talking about it. And he's coming here to Stony Brook tomorrow night, so be a part of it, you know? I mean, you don't have to agree, you don't have to disagree. Just have to be interested and realize that a bit of history is going to be right here in our own backyards. More information, call 632-6464. I'm going to save you the trouble. I'm going to call that right now.
This is the Polity Ticket Office in the Stony Brook Union. This Sunday, December 3rd, the SAB Lecture Series presents Joey Johnson speaking on the flag-burning controversy. The place is the Union Auditorium, the time, 8:30 p.m. Tickets are still available, $3 with Stony Brook ID and $5 for others. They will be on sale at the box office Sunday evening starting at 7:30 p.m. On Friday, December 8th, Stony Brook Concerts presents They Might Be Giants, 8 p.m. in the Union Ballroom. Tickets are still available, $8 with Stony Brook ID and $12 for the public. On sale here and also Ticketmaster. The Polity Ticket Office is located in the lobby of the Student Union Building on the main campus. Thank you.
This extension is not accepting messages because the mailbox is full.
Okay, well, hopefully they'll clean out their mailbox. But that's the story, folks. Joey Johnson tomorrow at the Union here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. I don't think he's going to be burning a flag. I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. So don't come with fire extinguishers or anything like that. But he will be talking about it. And, you know, come with the feeling of, you know, not confrontation if you don't agree with the guy, but just find out, you know, what he's all about, what he's saying. And if you do agree, you know, come with the same intentions. It's not a propaganda thing here. It's education. That's what this place is all about. So again, tomorrow night, 8:30, Stony Brook Union, Joey Johnson, the flag burner, the notorious flag burner that started this whole Supreme Court thing. And don't forget, folks, the Supreme Court agreed with him. Okay, Supreme Court of this country agreed with Joey Johnson, and you know, the reasons why he did what he did, and it's you know. If you believe Joey Johnson is a bad person, really you believe the Supreme Court comes up with bad decisions, which I guess a lot of people do think for one reason or another. Our number is 632-6901. Let's take a few more calls. Good evening.
How's it going, bro?
It's going good.
When you were consented to giving each listener 1 minute of airtime to do with what do they please?
Well, I never agreed to anything, and you know, my finger's on the button, but you know, I could consent to whatever.
All right. Well, let me make my way over to the Steinway concert grand.
Oh no! What's he gonna do?
All right, hold on. We're gearing up for what they call getting down.
Right? Be careful over there.
We're gearing up. Getting down, all right, brother?
Gearing up for getting down. You got it.
All right, brother, hold on. Here we go.
Okay. I sure hope it's going to do something.
Am I a great pianist or what?
Well, now that you've tuned up, are you going to play something?
That was it, man. That's the opening.
It's good, I guess. Do that again. Let's do something with that.
Okay, you ready?
You have your radio on?
Do I have my? I'll turn it on, brother.
Turn on your radio, bro, and let's do this right.
All right, hold on. All right. Does this sound cool? All right, hold on. Now, you want me to do that again?
Yes, that's what I said, isn't it?
All right, brother, hold on. Oh, wait, screwed up. I made an error. I'm sorry. Hello?
Well, go ahead, for God's sake, go ahead.
All right.
The whole island is listening to this.
Okay, hold on.
Well, I think it needs some work, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
For some reason, the people at Polity won't give me a date for playing the university.
Uh huh. Well, you just gotta be persistent.
I mean, I've played at Carnegie Hall.
Call people all the time, you know.
Are you suggesting the Socratic method to get me a date to play at the university?
Basically, yes. You have to, that's how the Beatles got started, right?
Yeah, right on, bro.
Hang on, I'll transfer you to the direct line, okay?
All right.
Hold on. Sometimes you gotta take matters into your own hands. Anyway, while he's busy pursuing his career, let's take some more calls. 632-6901, good evening. Hello? I don't hear you. Is anyone there? Ah, I hear something. Listen to that. I hear people laughing. I don't know what's going on. Good evening.
Hi, sorry to bother you again, but I forgot a question.
Oh, you left out a question. I knew this was going to happen. Go ahead.
What covers your windows in your room?
What?
Covers your windows.
Oh, my God, that's an embarrassing question. Right now, paper mache, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
It is, actually. It makes my whole room sort of a reddish tinge.
No, I've never had an answer like that before.
I figured you wouldn't.
No.
I suggest you try it, especially if the sun beats down straight in your face. You know, that happens to me.
Your mom's middle name?
Sorry?
Your mom's middle name.
I can't hear what you're saying.
Your mom's middle name?
No, that you're not going to get, I'm afraid.
Why?
Well, it's just a thing with me. I don't give out information like that, but,
Was it molested in the laundry room?
What was that?
Is it because you were molested in the laundry room?
Molested in the laundry room.
As a child?
Oh, boy, I'd love to, how in Doonesbury they took a trip down the president's brain? I'd like to take that same trip in these people's brains. There must be some interesting things going on in there. Are you coming to the flag burners tomorrow? Joey Johnson, it is.
I don't know.
Yeah?
The flag burning.
Well, that's a pretty positive response, I must say. Let's get one more call in here. Give out our phone number.
What?
Give out our phone number. We need one more call.
632-6901.
That's right. Now, everybody hung up.
It's zero.
As soon as they heard your voice, everyone hung up thinking that you would be on until the end of the show, apparently.
And what does that mean?
Well, they heard you come on. They figured we'd just have a conversation that would go on until 12 o'clock. And, it makes sense, doesn't it?
I don't know. People don't know who I am.
They know your voice.
No, they don't. I don't call that much.
You're the person that embarrassed me over the airwaves earlier today by asking me all these personal questions.
I didn't mean to embarrass you.
Well, you didn't mean to, I know. I mean, there's no harm intended, but let's face it, my career is shot now. It's all over.
That's true. And those people before who calling you a loser and something?
Yeah, that wasn't very nice, was it?
You didn't know that you're not, and don't believe them.
I don't believe that hype. Don't worry.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, and if you think of any more questions,
next week.
There's always next week.
Yep.
I can answer the really personal stuff off the air, of course, but, we'll see about that.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
632-6901. We have about, what, three? Depends what clock we look at. Damn, I don't know what time it is. I mean, here it's 11:58. On the clock on the wall, it's 11:55. On the clock inside the other room, it's 10 after 12. There's a clock in here that says 7 o'clock, but it says that all the time. And we can't call the time from the phones here because university policy does not allow us to call the time. And the operator won't tell us the time because New York telephone policy says, wait a minute, I've got it. I've got it. I've got a way to find out the time. Okay, this is great. It just came to me. We call the long-distance operator, AT&T. Okay? Hopefully we can get through to that. Please answer. Please answer. Come on. I can feel it. Oh, no.
Please hold. Oh. All operators are busy now. Your call will be answered by the next available operator.
Busy? This is radio. Come on, folks. Get your act together. You're not even on strike.
Please hold. All operators are busy now. Your call will be answered by the next available operator.
Well, that's not good enough. I want an answer now. All right. Sometimes you got to get rough. I suppose this is an improvement, but still, I'd like to hear a voice. The decline of Western civilization. That's what this is. Yes, hi, is this AT&T?
Hi.
Yes, hi, I'm trying to find out what time it is in London. Can you help me with that?
5 hours ahead of us, whatever time it is here now, that's about the same time there. So I mean 6 hours ahead. It's now what, 12 a.m., 12 midnight here?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's six morning there now.
So it's about 6 in the morning right now, yeah. There. Okay, it's about 12 here. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, folks, we know it's 12 o'clock. Ah, that was clever, wasn't it? 12 o'clock. Oh, no, that means we're out of time. We're out of time. But there's nobody here. Well, when someone walks in the door, I will stop taking these calls. Good evening.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
Huh?
I'm fine, but I might be pressed for time, so say what's on your mind. Hey,
there's really nothing on my mind. Except to say that, you know John who called before? Well, his name isn't really John. Okay, his name is Bishnu. And he's really from Nepal, and he never really stayed any time in India. And I just wanted to, like set the record straight and let you know.
Well, I have a feeling this whole thing is a farce, am I right?
What? No. He just didn't want to admit his name. And I just wanted to tell everyone that's Bishnu Kaki, and from Hamilton 216.
Uh-huh.
And he's an electrical engineer, and everything else was pretty much right, except he was never lived in India. And... because, like, why would he live in India? Because Vishnu is an Indian god or something. I never really knew, understood that. But other than that, that's it. Okay. Well, since you have to go and since time's up.
I am in a rush. But
no, I have 11:58 on my clock.
It's 11:58? Wait,
but
how accurate? How accurate is
you want to get out of...
How accurate is
to the people, then I guess
I
you
hate
can.
This phone
okay,
system.
Bye.
I hate this phone system. He could never hear what I was saying. I was trying to ask him how accurate his clock was. 11:58? Okay, that's what the other clock says. Maybe the operator is wrong. Good evening.
Oh, so you wear a great instrument that even subversive.
I can't hear what you're saying.
You off the air.
Hold on, let me check.
Okay, we have people checking what time it is, except there's no way to find out in this place. There's really no way to find out. I mean, the operator just says, oh, it's around 12 o'clock. Great. That doesn't help me, does it? This clock says 12:01. That one says 11:58. The one in there says 10 after 12. There's another one that says 7 o'clock.
Hmm.
Well, let's go with the majority opinion, which seems to be about a minute before midnight.
Take two, three.
But there's no calls. Everyone hung up. Everyone panicked, thinking there was no time left. Well, that's okay. That's okay. Because I'm all talked out anyway. You might as well hang up, okay? You're too late. Look at this. Look at all these phone calls coming in now. Should I take these phone calls? What do you think? It could be a trap. Could be dangerous. Wait a minute, someone else took the phone call. I don't believe this. Someone else took the phone call for me. Isn't that nice of them? Someone took the shot in the chest that I would have gotten. I mean, that's only here at USB do you see some such camaraderie or whatnot. Good evening.
Hello, Eric. I'm calling about Mr. Hunts Hall, who was on the air before.
Okay.
You wanted to know if anybody ever followed the Bowery Boys.
Yeah?
As a child, I watched the Bowery Boys with my father. And I've gotten very fond of them over the years. And my father had always told me that my grandfather and him, Hunts Hall Sr., were the best of friends. And I just thought I'd pass it along to his son, just in case he ever wanted to know.
Well, that's. I hope he's still listening. Where are you calling from, sir?
I'm in St. James.
St. James.
Yeah,
okay.
I listen every week.
Great. Well, that's good to hear. I mean, I'm pleased to hear that, and I'm sure he will be, too.
Yeah, and took me a while to get through. I hung up and I called back again. I was hoping that you wouldn't cut me off because I thought he might like to know.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what you got to do with this show is just be persistent. That's the theme.
Yeah, and it's 12:01, by the way.
Okay, thanks.
Happy holidays.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 12:01. Well, I really think it's time to go. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's time to go, folks. You know. But, you know, a word of advice. Everybody calls, like, in the last half hour, you know? It's always the case. Everyone calls in the last 30 minutes, and for the first 90 minutes, I got to beg and you know, play Radio Moscow and all that kind of junk. So, you know, let's reset the clocks for next week, and we can have nice, long conversations for... Look at all these calls coming in. This isn't fair. Anyway... Our phone number, what's my telling the phone number? Okay, write it down for next week, 632-6901. You can call in for a request for the next program. I've got a record here that Arnie left me before he left. Yes, he was here. He was here, and he didn't say hello. Can you believe that? This is from, what is this, Crispin Healy and Glover. It's a record called The Big Problem. And there's something here that it's all about phones and answering machines and things like that. So you might like it. You might hate it. It might forever change your life. Who knows? See you at the show tomorrow night. Eric Corley saying good night, and I'll see you on the radio next week. Bye.
Yesterday, I had my birthday. Everyone wished me good luck, so I got up on the table. Messages on my machine. I felt very clean. I felt very clean. I erased the messages on my machine, and the tape was clean. And the tape was clean. Then I made a telephone call. I felt obscene.
Hi, this is Diane with the Concert Billboard for Sunday, December 3rd. Tonight there's nothing, so stay home and relax. Tomorrow is Monday, December 4th, and the Psychedelic Furs with East of Eden will be at the Beacon Theater. This Tuesday, December 5th, A Flock of Seagulls will be at the Bottom Line, the Psychedelic Furs will be at the CW Post Hill Center, and the Primitives will be at the Cat Club. Wednesday, December 6th, Jean-Luc Ponty and Suzanne Ciani will be at the New Ritz. They'll also be there on Thursday. Also Wednesday, Eddie Palmieri will be at S&D's. He also returns there on Thursday, December 7th. Also for Thursday, Mannheim Steamroller has a special Christmas concert with a full orchestra. That's at the Beacon Theater. And Mannheim Steamroller returns to the Beacon on 8th and 9th, Friday and Saturday. Also on the 7th, Thursday, Flesh for Lulu will be at the Cat Club. On Friday, December 8th, Mr. Big, Princess Pang, and Rick Planet will be at the New Ritz. They Might Be Giants will be here in the Stony Brook Union Ballroom, and Face Warning, Power Mad, INC, and Heavy Rain, who are formerly the Crumbsuckers, will all be at Sundance. That happens Friday. On Saturday, December 9th, Meatloaf will be at Bay Street, Johnny Winter will be at Sundance, and the Hoodoo Gurus and the Connells will be at Roxy. On December 11th, Paul McCartney will be at Madison Square Garden. He'll also be there on the 12th, 14th, and 15th. On December 13th, Kid Creole and the Coconuts will be at the New Ritz. On December 14th, The Alarm and Kevin McDermott, I don't know why I have such trouble with that name, they'll be at the New Ritz. And Dee Dee Ramone will be at the Cat Club. On December 15th, The Ramones and Blitzbeer will be at the New Ritz. Icon and Watchtower will be at Sundance. On December 22nd, David Sanborn.